Good morning. I'll be reading this morning from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 25 and following. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, starting with verse 35. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come, and you'll see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated as Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked him. "Come and see," Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "Truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Well, this morning we have a guest speaker, and I'm very privileged to introduce you to Latsi Kadar, who is here with his wife Sandra. Could the two of you wave? They have been married for 28 years, quite successfully. So Latsi and I go back literally decades. We met at Dallas Theological Seminary when I was a student there, and he is working with the Word of Life ministry in Hungary. He's been with that ministry now for 31 years. He started as a lowly janitor, working with the camp ministry, and moved his way up, and now he is over the full operation of the camp, the church local ministry, the Bible Institute. But more importantly than that, he is a discipler. He is a man who loves Jesus and loves to see people come to Christ, grow in Christ, and go out in the peace of Christ. And I am just so excited to be able to share this pulpit with my good friend. Please welcome Latsi Kadar.
Nobody ever told me what that was, okay? I had no idea what I was doing in the first couple of the microphone. Is it on, off? It's on me? Okay, so we all good? It's not on. You good now? Yes. Okay. Let's do it again. How about that, okay? Well, good morning, Trinity Fellowship. It's so wonderful seeing y'all. I'm here. Yes, I started up as a director of development. Unfortunately, nobody ever told me what that was. So in the first couple of years, I had no idea what I was doing, okay? Now that one theme remained, as they say it, those who know it, they do it. Those who don't really know it, they teach it. And those who have no idea at all, they direct it. So that's why I happen to be the director of Word of Life Hungary. It's an awesome thing to be a disciple of Christ. It is an awesome thing to know that He had known me since the beginning of time. Isn't that great? Let me start with a story. And this story is the story of one of my friends. His name is András in Hungarian, and that translates Andrew. In the mid-80s, Andrew András was just a college student, as atheistic as can be, studying computer science and mathematics. He had his questions and doubts, but God was not part of his universe. As he said to me, science has proven there is no God, and Christianity is just a superstition. You know, in communism, that was the basic tone. That's what we were taught in school. Christianity is something of the past. An educated person should not believe in God, you know. But something happened. He started having questions. And somebody gave him books about apologetics. And he started meeting believers. And in the spring of 1985, he got to know Jesus Christ. And the burden was relieved. And he started following Jesus Christ. And still under communism, he started sharing, proclaiming Christ in different college dormitories. And this guy then, still a follower of Christ, he planted a church, he's pastoring people, and he's passionately getting to know him and follow him and proclaiming him in Budapest for 40 years with the same enthusiasm. And if there is a title for this message today, like a short summary of what is happening in this first chapter of John, and that just simply three words: know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Guys, perhaps you remembered, you recall, sometimes your pastor Sten Erik disappears, okay, for 2 weeks, and you wonder, where is this guy? Well, he's in Hungary. He's helping us, and he's helping us in that exact mission, to help young Hungarian and international students to know and follow and proclaim him. And this all began here in the first chapter of the book of John. Let's look at the story, okay, shall we? John the Baptist was not a Baptist, okay? John the Baptist, he wasn't even a Christian. So John the Baptist, standing in the Jordan, baptizing people, proclaiming the wonderful message that the Lamb of God is about to come to take away of the sins of the world. And people wonder, what is that? And people repent, and he baptizes them, and he corrects. He's following disciples, and he teaches them about the Messiah who is about to come. And lo and behold, what happens? The Messiah is standing right there. And then he says, here is the Lamb of God. Here is the Messiah. Here is the one we were waiting for. And you know, two of his disciples change allegiances, and John is all happy about that. They got to know Jesus. Immediately they start following Jesus. And what happens next? Let's look at that. This first is Andrew. Simple fisherman. Follows John the Baptist. Here's the message countless times that the Messiah is about to come. And now there is the Messiah. He gets to know him. He sees Jesus. If you see those Jesus movies, you can see that a dove descends on his head or some lights are on his head. Jesus is in a white cloth, walking the water. It's all fancy. I know why it happened. But he says, this is it. I'm going to follow him. John the Baptist is all happy. Andrew knows and follows. And what is his next thought? What is his next thought? My brother, Simon. He has to know this. He has to learn about this. I got the most beautiful gift you can imagine. I know the Messiah. I can follow the Messiah. I don't care if he has no house. I don't care if he cannot lay his head down. I want to follow him. I want to know him better. And I want to proclaim him to my brother. And so he tells his brother Simon. And who knows how many other people he tells this news. In the Gospel of John, we see in chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and chapter 12, verses 20 to 22, that it is him, this Andrew, who brings people to Jesus. But then he becomes one of the 12. And he spends all his life getting to know him better and following him and proclaiming him to hundreds and thousands, who knows. He got to know and follow and proclaim Christ. And so here comes our friend Simon or Peter. Many of us can identify with Peter, you know. Talk first, think second. That's him, right? Talk first, think second. That's Peter. And Andrew goes, hey, Simon, I found the Messiah, buddy. Can you believe that? And Simon goes to Jesus because Andrew brings him to him. And here comes a very interesting part of this story, an eternal part of the story. Because Simon got to know Jesus, but if you really careful to read the text, you see that Jesus had already known Simon. Not just his past, but even his future. Because he says, you are Simon, but actually your name's going to be, anybody? Peter. Rock. Jesus had known him before. Jesus had known Peter's past, present, and future, everything. And so Peter immediately followed and became his disciple. He got to know him and follow him. And then proclaimed him. If there is a well-documented life, that's Peter's life. Who was the one standing up on the day of Pentecost? Peter. Who was the one pillar of the church? Peter. Who was the leader of the early church? Peter. He got to know him and follow him and proclaim him. It's so amazing. And so, in this first section of the story, actually, when Jesus calls his first disciples, he calls Andrew, but he also calls somebody else. And this is so funny, because Peter calls the unknown person, the enigma, the other guy, okay? And this other guy never names himself in the gospel. He usually refers himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved, another disciple, the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple who is bearing witness. You read these statements and we all know who that person is. Question? John, that's right. John is being called. Andrew and John. And John, in his long life, he has been a faithful witness of Jesus Christ. He got to know him. He got to know him intimately, probably. He got to know his love the best. And in the many, many decades that followed, he proclaimed Christ. He got to know him and followed him and proclaimed him in speech and in writing, as we see in our Bibles. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. And so here comes something that really just fascinates me. Philip. One thing that really amazes me about Americans is when two Americans meet. Sorry, guys, okay? I just really like it. And if they are not from the same place, one of the first questions they ask is this. Now, what state are you from? Exactly. And when that is clear, then what city or what part of that state? Oh, yes, I know so-and-so there. I was witness more than once that they found connections. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from here. Oh, I just talked to someone 5 minutes ago. It's 5 minutes ago. And the person knew I was from Hungary. And the question, have you ever known a person called Dan Buber? And my response, actually, we were sitting in the same office. That's how we were 30 years ago. One of my best buddies, a missionary with the Lord now, a wonderful legacy. But look at that. There is Philip, one of the buddies of Andrew and Simon. In his best knowledge, Andrew used to be the disciple of John the Baptist, who was not a Baptist. But what's going on here? Andrew and Simon now follow this new guy. There is only a short statement in the scriptures says that now Philip was from the same town Andrew and Simon was from. But actually, my creative imagination just created a story there. They're walking the street following Jesus, and there comes Philip. Huh, what are you guys doing there? Oh, we follow the master. Aren't you John the Baptist followers? No, 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 we found the Messiah. And what is the next thought of Philip? And what is the next thought of Simon and Andrew? Oh, he has to meet the Messiah. No, follow and proclaim. Sorry for being that repetitive, but I really want you guys to remember these three simple words, okay? No, follow and proclaim. That's what they do. Philip, Bethsaida, same town. Hey, buddy, you need to see Jesus. You can't believe what he's like. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Messiah. Come on, see him. And Jesus saw Philip and says, follow me. Guess what Philip said? Yes, sir. And became one of the 12. Isn't that cool? Followed him all his life. Followed him all his life because Philip got to know Jesus and Philip got to follow Jesus and Philip got to proclaim Jesus. Sorry for being that excited about this. I met Jesus when I was 20. I grew up in socialist, you guys call it communist Hungary. Nobody talked to me about Jesus. Nobody. Our family was not particularly religious. Religion was looked down. I had my questions. I was searching for answers for God, but nobody shared the gospel with me. I remember when I was 10, I started being afraid of death. Nobody told me what happens after. Went to my mom, said, Mom, what's going to happen to me when I die? She said, I don't know. A great answer for a 10-year-old. I remember when I was 16 or 17, we studied biology and chemistry, and we studied the beauty of the human cell, just a single cell, all those little factories and all those little things in it. And I said, there must be a designer behind that beautiful design. And I said the question, but who is it? Nobody answered the question. I remember when I was 18, the first time in my life, by some random coincidence, I read 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the beautiful hymn of love. And I said, wow, that's what I need. But nobody told me where I find that kind of love. Nobody. Nobody. And so here is Philip. And here is Andrew, and here is Simon, and they see their buddy, and they say, this guy has to find what we already have. We met the Messiah, isn't that cool? We met the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the one John explained us so well, the one to whom the prophecies pointing. Philip, meet Jesus, he's going to change your life. And Jesus had always known Philip, and Philip got to know Jesus, and Philip started to follow Jesus. And then Philip, as one of the 12, started proclaiming Jesus. And guess who's next? Nathanael, Philip's buddy. Because that's his first thought. Boy, I got the best gift you can get. I need to pass it on. I can't keep it for myself. I remember when I became a Christian. Interestingly, God called my parents to be Christians in that year. But I still have three brothers who were not Christians. In my zeal, first Christmas, I was a Christian for almost a month. I had great Bible knowledge, the four spiritual laws of Campus Crusade, that was my knowledge, okay? I knew it all. So I bought a Bible for one of my brothers and said, John 3:16, if you believe this, you're going to be saved. And my brother started, because he was on my heart. My brother started reading it later just to make sure that he proves me that I'm a religious fanatic, I'm a religious nut. Thankfully, instead of him convincing the Bible convinced him that he was a sinner and he became a Christian. Praise the Lord for that. And I remember that we took the Jesus movie, if any of you recall that 8mm Campus Crusade Jesus movie, way back, okay, to different towns and villages, and one of these showings, my youngest brother in 1991, he was sitting in the back row, and when there was the sinner's prayer, he prayed it. He never told us, but his life started changing. A year after, I said, well, Greg, that's his name, I'd like to talk about how to become a Christian. He says, you know what, I did become a Christian a year ago. Of course, when you become a Christian, all those around you, family, friends, they are in your hearts. You got to know Jesus, the best thing that can happen to you. You got to follow him. How could they miss it? And that's Philip, and that's Nathaniel, the skeptic. I would say the Bible scholar. Because he's sitting under a fig tree now. You say, what's the big deal, sitting under a fig tree? Well, this expression referred to Pharisees, religious leaders, scribes, sitting in the open, reading, meditating, praying. So it's not just about sitting under a fig tree, okay? It's more like Jesus says, I saw you, although I wasn't there. You're thinking about the Messiah. You're praying about who that might be. I saw your location. I saw your thoughts. I saw your heart. Can anything come out of Nazareth? That simple question shows that he knew his Bible, because the Bible said the Messiah must come from Bethlehem, Micah 6:8. But when they bring him to Jesus, Jesus says he's a true Israelite. He's one that was searching for the Messiah, who really wants to please God, who wanted to meet me. And Nathaniel, guess what? He got to know, and he started to follow and proclaim Christ. Tradition, so this is not the Bible, this is just tradition, says that he was the apostle of India and Armenia. It's quite a distance. And if you look at these five guys, Andrew, Simon, John, Philip, Nathaniel, you see the same pattern. They got to know, they started to follow, and they started to proclaim Christ. And when they got to know him and follow him, their first thought was that our friends and family, people around us, they should also got to know the wonderful Savior. How could they miss it? Their passion, their burden was, yes, I know him. I want them to know him. And they proclaimed him. Getting to know Jesus made them want to follow him. And following Jesus made them want to proclaim him. Isn't that so? Let me add to it. The better you know him, the more you want to follow him. Because he knows you, knows me. And I ask the question, how can Jesus ask a guy like me to follow him? If he had known what kind of person I am, but he does know what kind of person I am. Hello. He knows those thoughts. He knows those actions. He knows the sins. He knows the things that are of the flesh. And yet he called me to be his disciple. And he forgives. And he gives me another chance. And he shows me grace. And he uses me. And that just blows my mind away. And so the better I know him, the more I want to follow him, really. And the more I want to follow him, the desire is more like, I want to proclaim him. And that's what we see in the life of these guys. The better they knew him, the closer they followed him. The closer they followed him, the more passionate they were to proclaim him. Knowing and following and proclaiming Christ, this could be the motto of church history, friends. Thousands and millions have done the same thing, and that is why you and I can be here today. Because think about who the person was who proclaimed Christ to you. Maybe it was your parent or grandparent. Maybe it was a pastor, a friend, a coworker, maybe through a book, through a sermon you heard. I don't know how it happened. But there was a point in your life when you got to know him. And there was a point in your life when you started following him. And if you follow him, you want to proclaim him. You want others to experience the same beautiful thing. The same beautiful thing. And that's what Stenerik is part of for 2 years each year, to train those young Hungarians and internationals to know Jesus better, to follow him more faithfully, and to prepare them to proclaim him more passionately. And that's what happened to me, by the way. Because my story and the story of András, I started this sermon with, actually, these two stories connected. Let me tell you how. It was the fall of 1988. Campus Crusade was still undercover, so they worked kind of half illegally. The main method was to train Hungarians and send those Hungarians to the dorms, and the Americans were kind of college students because they were observed. So András at that time had been a Christian for 3 years. And God laid on his heart to go to one of the largest dormitories of Budapest, the dormitory of the Technical University Electrical Engineering Faculty. This is a 20-story building. On each story, starting from the third, there is 16 rooms. In each room, 4 students, all guys. And András said, I'm going to share the gospel with all these guys. He really did. So he started on the third floor. Knocked on a door, 301, and either was rejected or dismissed or not listened to, went on. 302, 303, 316, flat, straight rejected. No problem, there is a fourth floor. Does the same thing, okay? Goes by each individual dorm room, and he got either kicked out or not listened to or not even let in for 16 times. No problem, let's go to the fifth floor, okay? I only have 6 minutes, so I'm not going to go through all the dorm rooms, but imagine that he was rejected on the sixth floor, and now we go to the seventh floor, and we're going to go dorm by dorm. 701, no. 702, no. 703, no. 5, 6, no. 710, no. 711, nope. Well, that's not that 711, okay, it's a different 711. They don't give you free slushies. Okay, but 712, no. Guess what dorm I was in? 713. And I wasn't there. But when I returned, there was this little booklet on my bed, 4 Spiritual Laws. Actually, in Hungarian, the title is even more provocative. It says, if you could know God personally, would you? I said, wow, was he here? I don't know. I said, yeah. And András came back. And we started talking. And because of those conversations and because of his persistence of wanting to proclaim Christ, he followed. I'm standing right here 37 years later. Because András got to know Jesus and proclaimed Jesus to me. And Jesus, who had always known me, got hold of my heart. And in those 31 years of ministry at Word of Life, I could tell you so many wonderful stories like that. One after the other. People who got to know Jesus through our camps, through our Bible Institute, through our youth ministries all over the country and beyond, who got to know him and who started following him and who now proclaim him. One of them is actually right now here in town at Dallas Seminary preparing for ministry, a 10-year-old kiddo who was sitting in the pews 2004 in one of the summer camps. I was speaking and he became a Christian. 21 years later, he's a Dallas Seminary student thinking about returning to Hungary to do ministry. It's so amazing. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. That's what we are all about. That's what these 5 did. That's what generations of Christians did during church history. And friends, that's what we want to do at Word of Life Hungary. We want young people to take their next steps with Jesus, to get to know him and follow him, and then proclaim him. And that is God's wonderful mission for Trinity Fellowship. Get to know him. You who know him, follow him. And you who follow him, proclaim him in word and in deed and in lifestyle. And it makes a difference. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Amen? Well, that wasn't a convincing amen, so we're going to start again, okay? I'll come down. Listen. No, not yet, not yet. Not yet. Know, follow, and proclaim Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's try again, okay? One last time. I will get to know and follow and proclaim Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for y'all. Father, thank you very much that we are sitting and standing and we are here because of Jesus Christ who knew us and gave his life for us and died for us. We got to know him, and thank you that we could follow him, and thank you that you use us to proclaim him. Generations of Christians did the same. Help us to be faithful in getting to know Jesus better, follow him more faithfully, and proclaim him boldly. In his name we prayed. Amen.